people who love them.
Hello and welcome. This is The Thing About Cars, coming to you as usual from the beautiful city of Atlanta, recording inside of Strongbox West. I am Mickey. I'm sitting here at the table with our compatriots.
Becca.
And
Ben.
And today we're going to talk about three different things, or at least we're going to try to touch on three different things, time permitting. The Atlanta British Car Fair is coming up. Geely bought Volvo, and we might try to talk about the Chinese car market in general, branching off of that. And someone stole my registration stickers off my license plate. So, yeah, we'll have to touch on that for a little bit. It's kind of just an exercise in frustration. But let's start about the Atlanta British Car Fair, because I think that's a pretty...
It's a really cool event. It's the biggest, best all-British car and motorcycle show at least in the local area and state, if not the Southeast. They're claiming there are going to be 400 cars and bikes this year.
400?
Yeah, we'll see. A lot of motorcycles show up, and they don't take up that much room. But,
I was about to make the same joke about British cars.
Oh, right, yeah.
they don't take up as much room.
Most of them are pretty small. There are some huge ones. Some of the Rolls Royces that come are rather enormous. But, yes, I mean, it's everything from the early days to the present. You'll have, you know, really ancient, Austins, Land Rovers, MGs and things. Then you'll have late model Aston Martins and stuff like that, and Lotus and Sunbeams from the 60s, bikes, everything from Ariel to Triumph. They're all going to be there, and it's just a big super event, and I'm stoked and pumped and enthused about it. Unfortunately, my car won't be there. It's not going to be together enough by then.
You don't think so?
No. I've just got so much to do.
Yeah. Well,
maybe we should all descend on Mickey's house and... Mickey's. I'm looking at Mickey, so I'm saying his name. We should all descend on, yes, Mickey's house, but also Ben's house over here.
Right, right.
And I don't know, how much wrench work is it going to take? What if you have four or five people come in?
Well, there's a lot of electrical work.
That seems to be kind of my thing now.
Okay, yeah, and I've got a brake system to put back together, including fabbing some new lines. I've still got some fuel system plumbing to do, and then there's just kind of
I think maybe we should let Ben manage this thing on his own.
Yes, part of the fun is working on it, but also showing up with it.
Sure.
True, yes. And if I did by chance have it ready, it would look like a project. I'd probably have one seat in it and no carpet and, yeah.
Well, we should all go, and we should definitely bring our portable recorder and talk to people on site and see if we can get folks to come back to the studio with us.
Sure, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, I saw a car one time, and I'm pretty sure it was a Mustang, you know me. The car looked like a project, but do you remember way back when people were first starting to dabble at their own personal websites, and they would put up these little pictures that say under construction, and they would put up little pictures kind of like the road barricades or people with shovels.
Oh, yes.
I had seen a car with that in the back window. It was kind of like a vinyl sticker in the back window that said under construction, and it was awesome.
We should get a parking space at this event and just put up like a
cones around it.
An easel. And an easel with a picture or two on it of showing Ben's progress, and we can just say under construction.
There you go.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Some of the project pictures, though, like that, there was a car there last year that it was finished and complete and beautiful, but he had a big spread of pictures of the project as it was going on, mm-hmm. because what he had was probably one, if not the only, maybe one of probably a handful in the world, a Jag XJS that had been converted into what's known as a shooting brake in England. Like a little sort of hatchback type thing.
Oh, yeah.
He had used the hatch from an old 280ZX,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he did a lot of body work to make this happen, but he attached that onto this XJS Jag, which, as you all remember, is like a two-door with little strakes on either side of the rear window. And it was beautiful. It was really well done. Lots of imagination and good fabrication. And the cargo area had like a boat-style teak wood floor in it with polished fittings. And and the interior had been redone in a nicer, fluffier leather than this car had ever originally known. And it was just awesome. And the pictures of the work being done were inspiring. You see how he made it all fit and how it was welded together and everything. It was mm-hmm. it was super.
My brain is going in so many different directions with this that I have questions and comments. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Mickey?
Nothing clean enough for radio anyway.
Right.
Well,
truly a car nut.
Yeah. I need to go back and find an article. I had seen it not too long ago, maybe the past week, something about the Citroen still being...
Citroen?
Citroen, yes.
I've heard it actually said in different ways, and maybe it's because I'm hanging around too many Southern people.
No, no, one of them's a vodka, the other one's a car.
Okay, but here in South,
Citroen is the car. That's the way the French works. The umlauts over the E indicate that that's a pronounced letter.
Yes. What were you saying, Becca?
See, tangents. Well, yeah. See, they're Jaguar, right. Jaguar, and that's a whole other tangent I promise not to go down.
But right, this weird French car.
So anyways, this car that may or may not be a drink.
You'll want a drink after working on it.
Well, this thing, it was an older wine, and it said something about it still being relevant as far as a modern car. And I need to go back and dig that up.
I'm curious.
And see what all, what do they mean by that? I didn't read the whole article, but the title is definitely enticing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The company is still around. They're still making very modern cars now, but they made the 2CV, which was an ancient piece of whatever for decades.
Wait. I think they actually called it a Citroen in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Maybe.
Because Giles had one. Seriously. All right. I got to go back and look. Okay,
let's,
but no.
Put that on our notes. We need to go back and watch that.
But similarly at Mustang shows, I know I need to get out more, don't I? It's always a Mustang show. Y'all need to take me somewhere else. Actually, I do have a story about one of those. A similar one, I won't go down that rabbit hole too far, but there are cars like that where they have either the photo album or the boards that show you.
Oh, yeah.
But there have been too many people doing the, what are they calling it? The tribute editions.
Yes.
And it's actually a faux something.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a story for another time where my head just about popped.
Right.
And I did go to a British car show. I'm talking a lot today.
That's okay. So, I mean, all this is to say we will be at the Atlanta British Car Fair on September 9th.
Yes. I had gone to one. I don't know which one it was. It was 3 or 4 years ago at Oglethorpe University. Mm. Some brave man had this beautiful Austin Healey. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you the year.
Yeah.
Older than me. And he volunteered to allow my approximately 3-year-old twins to climb into it. I have pictures of them climbing around and pretending to drive this Austin Healey, and all nice. I'm thinking about is their shoes have thick soles. No, don't stand on the seat, and this guy is fine with it.
Oh, yeah.
It just, blew my mind. I would never, listen, don't put your shoes on my seats. Mm-mm. No.
Do we know anybody who organizes the Atlanta British Car Fair?
Off the top of my head, I do not.
I'm wondering if it makes sense to just give them a shout and say, hey, we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Right.
And not even expect anything, right? We'll just warn them and they'll be
there. Yeah, well, I know that the Iron Horse Tavern in Norcross there is one of the big sponsors of it, and Blue Moon Cycle is involved in it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really don't know.
Okay.
Could be a Facebook page that we could just do a shout out from. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. I'll edit a couple of these sentences out.
Half of what Becca said.
Got it. Okay. What's next?
Well,
you had a bit of injustice with your tag, didn't you?
I did. I don't know when it happened, but I walked out of my fiance's condo and there's this orange parking sticker, violation sticker on my window that says, we're going to tow you because you're parking here after hours with an expired tag. I'm like, I don't have an expired tag, but sure enough, my 2018 registration sticker is gone. I look around the parking lot, and just from where I'm standing, I can see easily a dozen other orange, I'm going to tow you stickers.
They hit a bunch of cars.
So whoever has gone through that parking lot and just almost randomly stolen stickers off of various cars. And on the one hand, this sounds kind of like just vandalism, right? It's just, why do you need that many 2018 registration stickers?
They're selling them.
Yeah, that is a possibility.
Let me ask a strange question. What city area were you in?
This is still technically Atlanta.
Still technically Atlanta. I don't know.
It's inside of DeKalb County.
I don't know why I'm putting these two together. One of the G8ers recently had his front emblem stolen. He had the Holden front emblem, I believe, on an SS. They've got it as a... what is it, a Nissan 4Runner or a black one, but that's all they could see.
Yep.
Pull up, and they just pull up in the parking lot, yank and go. And
Well, in this case, I have several areas of frustration around this, not the least of which is the company that this complex hires to actually issue these violations didn't figure out that. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Once I realized that I could see 12 of these stickers on cars around the actual, from where I was standing, I drove around the complex and easily 20, 25 cars were missing their stickers and had do not park your violation stickers on them. So one, if you're going to hire a management company to come around and monitor for parking, this particular complex does not follow their own rules very well. And at some point, don't you think that someone writing out those stickers could possibly say, gosh, there are a lot of missing registration stickers in this parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. And, but also,
and do something about that instead of penalizing the rest of us who have been vandalized.
Yeah, there's obviously a trend going on.
Right.
But if there's someone there monitoring the parking situation enough to notice tags, why aren't they noticing somebody stopping at that many cars?
Thank you.
I mean, what kind of security are you? Notice the tag, but not the thief walking around, right?
So,
or driving or walking, whatever.
I'm probably going to call the cab police office and, you know, talk to them about that. And probably nothing will ever happen of it because it's just tags and it's more revenue for the county. But I ended up going to my own county to get a replacement tag. That process in itself was painless because all they asked me for was my ID. That's all they needed was my driver's license. And $8 later, I had a new sticker.
Plus digital nowadays, though, they can easily look it up right away and say.
Right. That's the other thing. We live in an age of RFID communications and technologies. Mm-hmm. Why can't a cop simply drive by my car and figure out that I'm okay and I'm licensed and everything's fine?
And, you know, I was telling you the story of when it happened to me. And because I had the car out at the time of the renewal when this happened, I was basically 2 years out of date. I had a cop riding me pretty well. And I had the distinct impression that he was calling it in. But come to think of it, he probably called it in and it came back as okay.
Yep.
And he left me alone. So you're actually right. And that kind of saves us nowadays.
Well, I asked the lady at the ticket counter, I said, I heard that scoring the ticket, you know, getting an X-Acto knife or something and just scoring the sticker is a good way to prevent theft of the sticker. And she says, yes, some people actually just cut a thin X down the middle of the center of the sticker. So I actually scored the hell out of it. I cut many X's in it.
The funny thing is, when I try to remove my old ones when putting the new one on so that I don't wind up with a half-inch thick stack of stickers on my plate, when I try to pull the old ones off, I can't get them off without shredding them.
That's hilarious.
And I think they're designed to supposedly come apart if you try to peel them.
Supposedly, but when you get too many. But yeah. I mean, like you, I've had the one car for so long that I just grab some of the stack, peel off as many as will peel off. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about getting it all the way down to the license plate anymore. It's had 18
on the Volvo, I purposely left it alone. 20. I think I had like a quarter inch of stickers on the Volvo by the time I was finished.
Nice.
It should almost be a badge of honor. Look at my stack.
I still have it at home somewhere.
Right. I had one stolen, just like you're describing, when I lived in Alabama, and I was so just kind of frustrated and pissed off about it. And, you know, I think they charged me $40 for another one. This is before it was all on computers.
Sure. Well, what I want to do, I'm sorry.
But I was so upset about it that when I put the new one on, I actually wound up coating it with some, epoxy stuff.
There you go.
That's hilarious. What I want to do is electrify the license plate.
Oh, you could do that.
I'm going to do that to the whole car.
Just get a capacitor just for the license plate. You could actually insulate it, right? Or insulate the license plate and just put a big charge behind it so that if anyone just flat touches the paint, the plate, it discharges. And it's like a taser.
That'll be a good idea until you're loading stuff in the back of your car, wearing shorts, and your leg brushes against it.
See, I have thought about that for years with just the car in general. I seem to have the worst problem with door dings. I can park 50 spots away from the nearest car and I will get a door ding somehow.
Oh boy.
But then my concern has been, you know, cats jumping up on it, pigeons landing on it. You know, I come out to my car and there's this bunch of dead animals laying around my car or, you know, unfortunately not to laugh at some poor child. So I need to be able to regulate it just enough that it just kind of says hi when it zaps you. But,
What about the quaint old days with the talking car alarms?
No. Oh.
Please back away from the vehicle.
I knew a guy who put
you
one of those
too
on.
You close to the car.
You remember those? I don't remember what the model was called. It was a Suzuki sold by Chevrolet that had a three-cylinder engine in it back about 1989.
Yes.
I knew a guy who had one of those when I was in the Army, and he put the talking alarm in it in this cheap little bucket of a car just for shock value, I guess, yep. You know, just to be a smart ass. You know, he was in the Army living in the barracks, so he had disposable income, you right. know, you don't have any living expenses in that situation. So he just did it for an expensive joke. But it was kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
Because people wondered what car it was coming from. They expect something fancy, and they hear this thing talking to them.
Well, to bring us back to the license plate issue, I think one of the things the fiance and I are going to do, we're going to put clear plastic covers across the plate anyway. I mean, I've already scored my registration sticker so that it's no longer an issue.
How hard are those to get off, though?
I wonder.
I mean, it'll stall them, but if it's too easy to get off,
then... Well, no, that's it. I ordered some extra security bolts that aren't made with the kind of bit that we were talking about in the last episode. So the kind of bit you were talking about was basically a Torx bit with a hole down the center of the cylinder.
So less likely that they've got one in their pocket to quickly...
The one that we got isn't even a Torx bit. It's something else altogether.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's they in fact, this set of bolts from that I got off eBay for cheap... come with the actual bit. It's kind of like ordering wheel locks for your car.
That's what I was thinking. So, how small do locking lug nuts come?
Right. So that's essentially it. And that will, you know, I arguably make the license plate a whole lot harder to steal and or vandalize. But
if you look through a specialty fastener catalog, you'll find weird, weird fasteners you've never seen in all kinds of little sizes.
That's right. There is a whole catalog just called Fasteners, isn't it?
Probably, but I mean, there are some esoteric screw types, the likes of which, you know, most people have never heard or seen.
Oh, there's all kinds of strange stuff.
And those are cool because they give you, although on the downside, they're a little impractical because you have to have the right tool. But on the upside, think of the customizing potential. Do a custom car with some kind of alien looking screws in it, you know.
There you go. I like it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's vandalism. If DeKalb manages to say anything useful to me, I'll update you guys. But what a freaking headache, right? And just the stupidity of the management company to, again, empower someone enough to put a sticker on your car that says we're going to tow your vehicle if you don't get a new tag. But not smart enough to figure out that, God, there's so many of these things that are missing. Never mind stopping the crime from occurring to begin with.
Exactly. Right? What is this guy doing out
right.
here?
Yeah. Right. So that just kind of boggles my mind.
I agree.
Yeah. Ben, we were talking about the Chinese market thing earlier.
Oh, yes.
That not only is the Chinese market sort of up and coming, but China has bought Volvo.
Yes. A Chinese company called Geely own Volvo now. They have for a little while, actually, at least a year. I believe some of the production has moved there, but not all of it. You know, obviously, it's more efficient to produce them in China for the Chinese market.
Mm-hmm.
I think the European ones may still be coming out of Sweden. That's certainly more effective there. I think the U.S. ones are still coming from Sweden, too, as far as I know. But there have been some ups and downs of this. I've heard that a lot of British police forces have stopped using Volvos because the quality is apparently down.
I was going to ask about that. As far as manufacturing.
Coincidentally, facilities. I've heard now that Mazda has a better safety reputation than Volvo does.
Really?
The late model Mazdas.
But I think the perspective there is that not that Volvo's become any worse, but because everybody else has caught up.
That's the next question, right? It's like, the Volvo design still remains a good one, but everyone else has finally figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look on I'm drawing a blank. It's NHTSA, I think. They've got on their website, they've got a really handy thing. You can look any car up, and the number of ones that are 3 to 5 stars is staggering. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of cars now are scoring very well.
Yeah, no, you did really good. I normally mess up that acronym. You nailed it.
Ben sits there and rehearses it.
Nah, I've just read it enough times.
We have to stop and think. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
What's going to happen now that Geely has bought Volvo?
Well, I don't know. I guess they're going to keep making and selling cars. It seems to be a profitable arrangement as far as I can tell. There's some talk that they may be negotiating for Lotus now too. And I know I always bring Lotus up, but
That's all right. You and me both with our things. That's
yeah,
okay.
We'll see how what happens with that. But to broaden back to the Chinese again, Buick is actually very successful in China. They sell a lot of Buicks there. Why the Chinese like Buicks more than, say, Cadillacs?
Is this new, though? Because Buick was almost on the guillotine there for a while.
Well, GM kept Buick, but not Oldsmobile.
Not Pontiac, right?
Or Pontiac either.
Right.
I think Pontiac was a force, though, by the government.
Oh, was it?
I think, if I recall. It's been a while. Well, what kind of company is Geely, though? If we're not familiar, I mean, obviously, car, but I mean, as far as integrity or styling or what do you know about
Geely? I really don't know much. I just see their name pop up in these merger and acquisition articles.
I've never heard of them either, actually, until recently.
There are a lot of car companies that we've all never heard of around the world.
Holden. That's the one I like to drop in there. Holden.
Right.
I need to look up Holden status. What does it mean? Oh. No, that's the wrong word. I was thinking of something, but it's the wrong words. Never mind. Ignore Becca.
There are a lot of these groups, you know, like Proton of Malaysia. How many people have heard of that? Proton is pretty big. They used to own Lotus.
Maruti of India, and there's another one, Ambassador. Everyone's heard of Ambassador.
Tata. Yeah. They become more famous because they...
I like that.
Yeah.
I own a Tata.
They produce their own cars, and I believe they own Jaguar now.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
They produce a lot. Actually, they're a huge company. They do farming equipment and trucks and a variety of other things.
And they make that nano car now, too, that costs something like $2,000.
It's crazy.
It's
smaller than the smart car.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I've seen the smart car in an accident in a surface street, low speed traffic collision. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy a smart car.
See, now that bothers me a little bit.
It is very safe.
I hear what you're saying, but I've also heard it's very safe because it's basically a rolling roll cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as close to spherical as you could, as is made. And, the almost round shape of its structure really dissipates force well. Yeah. It's very crush resistant.
The only reason I'm reacting this way, Becca, is because I've seen a picture online of someone saying the same thing. Someone's like, this is why I'll never buy a smart car. And they show the thing. And from the surface, it looks like it's been ripped to shreds.
And I need to post my squirrel joke.
But if you look at it closely, if you look at this image that says, this is why I will never buy a smart car, the cage is still intact.
Yeah.
You know, it's clear that the passenger walked out of there, even if the rest of the car is toast.
See, mine goes further, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that's one thing that I will argue, like with the... See, here, I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to mention the car. A certain particular car. They were saying, oh, look at all this damage. But if you looked at it, the A pillar, the B pillar, the C pillar, they were all still intact, which meant there was no compromise into the passenger cabin.
Exactly.
It looks worse than it is. The people walked away. But in this particular incident, and I didn't take pictures, it was I'm driving home from work at the end of the day. What's going on? You finally get up to it. And it could just be the situation that caused this. There was an SUV, a smart car, and a large pickup truck, and they had gone squish.
Blotchy crunch.
Yes, they had gone squish. Now, I could still identify that the car in between was the smart car. So it's not that it was unrecognizable.
Are you sure it wasn't like a Chevy Love or something that had been squashed?
That could just be. Oh, yeah, it's entirely possible. But the owners of the other cars were just walking around talking. It was the owner of the smart car that they were pulling out to load into the ambulance.
No.
And that's what stuck into my brain.
Well, with two other vehicles, too, that's also a less likely scenario, which brings up another big topic.
In Atlanta? Come on.
Well, hang on. I'm talking about the whole world overall. No, actually, even in Atlanta, three cars creaming each other is not as common as we guess. And there's more.
The sandwich effect does not happen as much.
It really doesn't. But the point that leads to is everybody gets obsessed about car safety, but where do you draw that line? Because no matter what you're driving versus a Kenworth, you're toast.
Essentially, something is always going to happen at some point. Yes. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Well, and I always think about that one famous clip that I think it was Chevy released it, and it was a 50s era Malibu or something versus a modern Malibu.
Yes.
That wasn't Chevy Malibu. Did that. That was NHTSA again.
But it was a modern car versus an old car.
Yes, it's a 59 Chevy versus a 2009 Chevy.
Yeah.
Yes, Malibu versus, I believe, a Bel Air.
Something like that. And so they determined that everyone in the old Bel Air died instantly.
Even though there was more steel,
there really wasn't more steel.
Well, I mean, the point being that that old monster of a vehicle, everyone died.
Because what they did was they ran them left front to left front. Of course,
which is the most common
exactly,
head to head, though.
Or it's the most dangerous, yes.
And everybody in the modern car got away with a few injuries.
The thing with those big 50s cars was, yes, they were big, but they were mostly empty space.
Mm-hmm. Well, they think of the pound per pound on the steel, but they had no crumple zones. They didn't have the restraint systems. They didn't have the airbag systems.
Exactly,
they didn't have padding.
And the weight actually between the two is not that different.
Which is scary if you've driven some old car like that.
Not only that, but you know, modern cars are very heavy for their size too.
Yes, they
but
are.
Yeah, the old Chevy, it's basically kind of a big bulky frame underneath some curvy sheet metal, and that's about it.
Yep. And you could actually climb into the engine compartment to do the wrench work. Yep. Yes.
I knew a little guy in high school who had a 53 Ford pickup, and you know, he actually did climb in there with it because he couldn't reach it from the ground.
They were much easier to work on because of all that space, yes.
Yes, talking about cars that are easy to work on, we will definitely revisit that topic. But I think we're out of time today. Thank you again to the listeners, our listeners, for joining us. Always a pleasure to be recording for you guys. We look forward to your questions and comments on our Facebook page at The Thing About Cars or via our website, thethingaboutcars.com. If you like what you're hearing and you want to help us get some new recording equipment, please leave us a tip. We'll put the link to our tip jar on our Facebook page. Any monies we get will go straight into getting new microphones for our setup. And just thanks again for joining us. We will look forward to talking with you again next week, we think, recording here at Strongbox West. I think that's all I've got. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Be safe, you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.